Let's talk a little bit about these RFID tags. Now, first of all, when you were last on with Art, he wanted to know something about how these things are powered, right?
Right. This was kind of the big mystery is, you know, RFID tags don't have a power source of their own. You know, they're kind of a passive device. When you get them close to a reader, then there's a radio frequency discharge,
right,
and there's an energy exchange so you can ID things. What they did, and they announced this, we talked about it, but I didn't have an article in hand at that moment. And there was an article that actually was published a couple weeks later. It was December 27th, 2006. And it was from the electronics show, the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And they actually had created a technology using magnetic induction where they can use magnetic fields. And they referenced the work of Michael Faraday and Nikola Tesla in the article. The article is called The Big Story for CES 2007, the public debut of E-coupled intelligent wireless power. As a wireless power source that you could use for your cell phones, for RFID tags, for any appliance. And the thing about it that used to be the big restriction is you got such huge power losses, you couldn't transfer energy easily. This is so efficient, your power losses are as low as 2%, which is as good as hardwired connections to your wall. And that's the power source. That technology, when spread globally in a wireless world, makes RFID tags and their capacity for tracking every movement, every transaction, everything that we do, we become totally, absolutely transparent. The idea of putting RFID tags in currency is something that has come up. It's shown up in the press. We cite that in various publications. And what we know about that is every dollar will eventually be trackable. So when you go get the money from the bank, if that money gets spent somewhere at a guy's garage sale and that guy doesn't account for it to the IRS, they can account for every dollar. I mean, that kind of transparency is coming, and this is one of the critical elements for making it real. It was the one thing that, you know, Art being technically oriented, mm-hmm, how are they going to do it? And there's the answer.
You know, on the face of it, when you think of inventory control, you know, you put little tags in your products that you're selling, and you know if they're being moved or not. I know Anheuser-Busch has an incredible inventory control now, where one of the distributors can merely go into a store with a device, know exactly how many how many cases are moving, where they're going, and everything else.
Right.
On the face of that, that sounds good for business, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, no technology is inherently bad. It's how we use it that becomes either good or bad. And I think this is where technology advancing so rapidly, there's no time to even breathe, you know, much less consider how do you regulate technology so that they're not misused. And always when these technologies come up, the privacy issues are always there, but then they're just kind of thrown aside and nobody takes the next step, which is legislation. You know, I mean, we've got a different world than we had 50 years ago or even 10 years ago, and there are no regulations that are keeping up with these technology trends. And that's the big gap. And part of that is, you know, really, and not that it's their fault. I mean, again, my dad was in the Congress. They don't know everything. And everyone kind of gets this idea that they're supposed to know everything. They're not technically oriented for the most part. Most of them came out of either law or other areas. The social sciences, very, very few came out of the hard sciences and ended up in the Congress. And so who's evaluating technologies? Who's going into those closed meetings where technologies are discussed? And who's there to ask the intelligent questions when they don't even have the basic understandings? And that gap has to be filled, because what makes governments powerful in the 21st century is their command and control of high technology. And in a democratic republic like ours, that means that each individual within the country, at least we have to have a conceptual knowledge. We don't have to know how to build this stuff, but we ought to know enough about it so that we can help steer the direction of our public policy, much in the same way as we do with traffic rules, for goodness sakes, yet most of us can't fix an automobile, but we can still regulate what happens with them. And I think the same is true with these technologies.
What's driving the speed of these technologies, Nick? Is it the computer world?
It's the convergence, actually, of all of the technologies are converging into a nice, tight package where you're seeing, like, the biosciences. If you look on the website, you'll see an article on implant technologies under the button Mind Control at earthpulse.com. And the advanced neural implants, you can actually see those circuits and how small they are and how they use them. And when you start to look at all this, it's being able to merge all of this science. I mean, the Salk Institute back in the 1990s figured out how to grow brain cells on electronic substrates. Then a couple years later, they announced that they figured out how to grow neurons, something that everybody thought was impossible. Well, those are like the wiring to connect those brain cells. And then you've got some really interesting technologies.